Well, if you'll turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. In our new welcome packets, they'd ask each one of us pastors the verse which meant really fit with us the best, the one that meant most to us. And Colossians 1:28 is the one that really means a lot to me. And so I just felt like I'd go through it today because it is, to me, what discipleship is all about. And not just discipleship, but why we stand up here each Sunday and Wednesday, and as we meet with different ones, the responsibilities really that we have. And if you're discipling somebody, the responsibility that you have as well. I remember when I first started meeting with Pastor Gary, he talked about Ezekiel chapter 31 and the responsibility that we have to warn, and that if we do the warning, if that warning is heeded, that we've saved somebody. That somebody, not we have, but God's word through us has saved. But if we don't, that their blood is on our hands. And that stands for all of us, but specifically for pastors as well. But in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." If we go through and look at each part of that verse, it says that we proclaim him. It always makes me think of Paul in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. And starting in verse 1, it says, "When we came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified." You know, that's we're all going to do this differently. We're all going to use different words, different vocabularies. Our backgrounds are different. A doctor's probably going to describe salvation differently than somebody who drives a tow truck. But the point of the matter is that we are going to use who God made us to be in proclaiming the gospel. But we all have to remember, no matter what we're doing, that it is the power of God that brings about the change. So Paul is saying, I didn't want to make it about my ability to make arguments. I didn't want to make it about my eloquence of speech. I wanted to share in the way that I share. But he also, in another part of Scripture, tells us that to the Jew, he became as a Jew, right? And so he wanted to relate to people as they would receive it. He goes on to say, "I was with you in weakness." And we recognize that Paul also in 2 Corinthians talks about it's in weakness that power is perfected. "And weakness and fear and much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of man, but the power of God." So when we look at "we proclaim him," that's what we're proclaiming. We're proclaiming that it's not us, it's nothing we've done, nothing we could do, but it's the power of Christ that we want to proclaim. It goes on to say, "admonishing every man," and the word "admonish," if you break it down, means to warn with regard to wrong doctrine, beliefs, behavior. Maybe it's about responsibilities that somebody's either forgotten that they have or they're just ignoring, but it's bringing to mind these different things. He goes on and says, "and to teach." To teach means bringing scriptural truth in order to correct that which has been misapplied and to impart a positive truth. So we're not here desiring to tear somebody down. We're not desiring to make them feel bad. We're desiring to admonish them. Here's the truth. okay? And to teach, this is what it looks like. This is how Scripture is applied, okay? He goes on and says, and teaching every man with all wisdom. Well, what is wisdom? Wisdom is using appropriate means, methods, timing, circumstances, and capabilities of those who you are teaching. In other words, you want to relate to those that you are teaching in a way that they're going to receive it. But timing is everything. You know, Lord is the one who brings on the growth. He brings on the timing of the growth. But we want to make sure that as we're teaching, that we're doing it in an appropriate manner. We want to make sure that the way we're doing about it, the timing that we're utilizing or bringing this up, the circumstances, the capabilities of the individual. In other words, if you got a new believer, you want to be aware of that. Sometimes we're talking with people who are not believers yet. We need to stick with the gospel, you know, and we don't need to hammer them with intense scripture, but we want to stick with the gospel and the salvation that is in the gospel. So that we may present every man complete in Christ. That word complete is to be perfect or mature in Christ. We know Christ is the author and perfecter of our salvation. It's critical that as we look at this, Matthew 5:48 says, we are to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Well, we know that that's just, while we're here on earth, that's not going to happen. All right? But God's not going to let it lower His standards for us. Perfect is perfect. That's the standard. But it's through the sanctification, the process of sanctification, that we can become perfect. Ultimately, we'll not be perfect until we're in glory with Him. It's a lot like righteousness. We are considered righteousness, Romans will tell us. We're considered righteous because of the relationship that we have with Christ. But and outside of that relationship, we are not righteous at all. We will be righteous when we're in heaven, okay? We will be perfect. We, through the association in Christ, we can be perfect if we're relying on Jesus and we're not relying on ourselves. The challenge is many times we tend to rely on our own strengths, our own prowesses, our own pragmatisms, and in that we think, you know, I can do this. Well, no, you can't. And so if you're relying on the Spirit will move you. So we can't obtain perfection without Christ. And in Philippians 3, in verse 12, Paul says about perfection, not that I have already obtained it or already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ. So he's recognizing, I'm not perfect yet, but that's what I'm striving for. I'm striving. And it's not a legalistic striving. Let me just make point of that. It's not simply following the rules, following the law for the sake of following the law. It's following Christ and relying on Him to guide us. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Again, he's making the statement, our power is found in Christ and Christ alone. The desire to pursue Him, to follow Him, and to pursue the things of Him is our desire. But we cannot be perfect. We cannot be righteous. We can't be anything if we're not depending on the Spirit in us to do it. Father, we just come before You, Lord, and we do thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the many ways which You move in our lives. We thank You for Your Spirit in us, which will guide and direct us if we'll just stop long enough and ask. And when we ask, that we're faithful to follow what you tell us to do, that we do it immediately, and we do it with our whole heart, not just out of a legalistic intent. We thank you for your patience and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.